message as well, just looking ahead to what we can do. If we're going to have one New Year's resolution, what would it be? And I found the answer. The answer is in Philippians chapter 3. I'm gonna start with verse number 14. Then I'm gonna kind of go backwards and forwards at the same time. So chapter 3, verse 14. This is our resolve. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Has anybody ever run in a road race or ridden a bike in a road race? And you're near the finish line and you're behind by just a little bit. What do? You give it your all. If you're in a motor vehicle in a drag race, you hammer it. The pedal. You put the pedal to the metal. And you go. You press. You have that car going faster than its capability to do so. And you run the race. Or win the race. This is what Paul has given us here. He says this is what you're to do. Not to achieve salvation, not to even maintain salvation, but yet we know what that prize is. The prize is Christ himself. And he closes the chapter with the rapture of the church and the glorification of our bodies. So let's dig in, shall we? Let's go back to verse number 1. Remember, keep that pressing in and pressing for that mark, toward that mark. The mark, the word, the Greek word, without looking it up, it's scopio. And there's two things that come with it that it's based on in English, or that the English is based on. Number one is the word skeptic. I am a skeptic in all things. I will look at both sides of every situation and story before I make any rash judgments. I'll do that with Scripture as well. I'll do that with pointing out false teachers, because a lot of times people, just because of the notoriety they have, you have to go back and find out what they really said, and not what somebody else said that they said, that somebody else told them what they said. So you have to go back, and so you're a skeptic. Also, the word scopio, and Amy got to try it yesterday, right? He had a laser and a scope on an AR-15. Yay. Looking through that scope, the crosshairs of it, that's what we're to do with that prize. We're to fix our focus upon that heavenly calling, that high calling of Jesus Christ. Amen? Having a scope is much better than trying a hand sight as well, because you can focus on it. How can we focus on that prize, on that high calling? Right here. This is our only source. I like this nice soft Bible. I can focus right in. Do you ever do this with a toilet paper roll? And you put your hand there and it shows that your hand has a hole in it. That's what we're to do. We're to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and his high calling. Amen. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It is simple. The reality is, though, that many have complicated it, and you have to jump through 18,000 different hoops in order to understand the Bible. You need 25,000 different scholars to explain a verse, when the Bible is an open book that has the answers internally for everything. You know, it was designed not for the scholars. It was designed so that God, it's called perspicuity of the scriptures, the clarity of the scriptures, it was for that the lowly person, anybody could understand what the Bible says, no matter what. Sometimes it takes work. Sometimes it's uncomfortable because sometimes we don't want to know what the Bible says. We just want to rest on our laurels and trust what somebody else told us. But the Bible is, we have the scope here. We have the Bible to keep us fixed on that high calling. Let's go back to verse number 1. Verse number 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." We did this several Wednesdays ago. We went through Philippians chapter 3. Rejoice in the Lord. That's a great commandment right there. Paul's not putting a question mark here or anything. "To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." He's going to go through what happened in the previous chapter with the Judaizers, etc., you know, bringing their works back into salvation. It's good for me to repeat these same things over. He says also, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." It's not grievous. You're having difficulties. 2022 was a difficult year. 2023 could be equally as difficult, and I suspect it will be. What's our answer? We fix our eyes, the scopio on the high calling of Christ Jesus, and we rejoice in the Lord. That's a great thing to do. When the going gets tough, the tough get rejoicing. Amen. The tough get praising. No matter how much it is, physical pain, etc., we can rejoice in the Lord. "Beware of dogs." I always like that, because the dogs were the Gentiles, and God is turning around to the Judaizers and calling those Jews dogs. "Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision." Those that would have you go back under the law, you know, with circumcision and the like. "For we are the circumcision." I like that. Man, woman, child of the circumcision. Try that. "Which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." There's that word again, that our word, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. What kind of confidence in the flesh can one have? Either you trust your own works, that you can add something to salvation through what you do. I always, when I was saved, my mother would tell me, says, "You were always a good boy." Typical motherly fashion. "Your son could be a murderer. You're a good boy." I think of the Italian mothers. Grabbing you by the cheek and, yeah, "If I was such a good boy, why are you pinching me like that?" So, and have no confidence in the flesh. Not only your own flesh, other people's flesh as well. We tend to do that. We tend to love reading more about the Bible than the Bible itself. Anybody else guilty of that? I can be guilty of that at times. Amen. It's just a natural thing. You like the Bible, after all. You know, I've read it over a few times. You know, it's nothing new. It's amazing how you find all kinds of new things in the scriptures when you study it in its entirety and in its context and take the big picture into effect. "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no
confidence in the flesh. I looked up the word no. It actually means no. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man, other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I like how Paul, this is foolishness to Paul, how he's going to brag about how great a Hebrew he was. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He saw those at the beginning, he saw those coming to Christ, and what did he do? He didn't say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He persecuted them. And yet, the same people that would have him persecuting, those people would now turn on Paul. You know, that's what, if we go back in the Galatians chapter 2, he had to argue for over and over again. He was called a heretic by those Jews. He did have the revelation from Jesus Christ to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. The Bible says that you need to go according to every bit of the law. You need to be perfect in every way. Paul was blameless. Paul knew the ins and outs of the law better than any church theologian today. Better than any, what do they call it in the Catholic Church? The doctors of the church. They're the lawyers that are in charge of, let's see, this priest was, he had a thing with little boys. How can we find that? Oh yeah, we'll move him. You know, they found a legal loophole in order to move people around. And that's how Paul was. Paul knew the loopholes of the law that he can consider himself to be blameless. And look at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for what? For Christ. It's amazing what the knowledge and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will do. Yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, we have critics that would be out there saying, all you desire is knowledge. All you want is head knowledge. You need to experience Jesus. Well, the Bible says we're to have the knowledge of Christ. We grow in sanctification through the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Through the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of how many things? All things. He lost his earthly position, his earthly possessions, everything for the sake and excellency of Christ. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. I was like Scubalon. But dung that I may win Christ. Take everything away from a man, except for Jesus Christ, he has everything and more. Amen. If we were to lose it all and still have Christ, we would have more than anybody in the world. More even than Elon Musk. That guy's a wingnut, but, you know, hey. Ellen's like, I don't even know who Elon Musk is. And why are you calling him a wingnut? Trust me. With his daughter, R2-D2, and or whatever her name is, you know. And look at verse number 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. I think the distinctives in the King James Bible, the faith of Christ, as opposed to the faith in Christ, I think that makes a difference. You and I aren't faithful. We can try all we want. We're fallible human beings, but Jesus Christ was faithful to fulfill everything that God desired of him, even to the point of death on the cross. He came. If he wasn't obedient, to the Father, we'd be out of luck. Luck's not probably not the right word for that, but we'd be out of any capacity whatsoever to be saved today, because it's Jesus Christ who is the faithful one. The righteousness which is of God by faith. See, when we trust by that, when we have faith in the faith of Christ, when we have faith, the faith of Christ, we have Christ's righteousness. His righteousness has been imputed to us. You know, he took our unrighteousness. And where did that unrighteousness go? That went to the cross with him. It was an exchange. I used to like it when the Canadian dollar was a lot weaker than the American dollar. You could go up and buy a lot more product in Canada than you could. Now they kind of, last I knew, they were pretty even. So it's not much difference between the U.S. and the Canadian dollar. When it was 70 cents on the dollar, it was like, wow, a can of Coke only costs 15 cents. But yet, the exchange rate from Jesus Christ's righteousness, exchanging it for our unrighteousness, the distance is so far. It's something that we can't make up. We can't even compare it to anything. But Jesus Christ did. Our righteousness is because of his righteousness. His faith to take away our sins. And he took it upon himself. Say, how? That sounds impossible. He went to the cross and took upon himself the sins of the entire world. I can't explain it. Some scientists have tried to, which they fail, because they're human after all as well. But he took upon himself the chastisement, the punishment of everyone. That's I'll use that word again that I used early so often, amazing. We sang amazing love. How can it be that God should die for me? So we have the faith of Christ. That righteousness is of God by faith. That I may know him. How do we know him? We know him through the word. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Imagine having the fellowship of his sufferings. It's appointed unto believers, to Christians, to suffer with Christ. Now, suffering comes in different forms: physical, emotional, spiritual, all different things. But our suffering has nothing compared to what Christ went through. I even think of the fact that going to the cross, they plucked his beard out. If you think about, if you have a beard and you have a little baby pulling at it, how much it hurts. But imagine grown men actually pulling the beard and the flesh along with it. It sounds like an Easter message, but that's the suffering. And we've all suffer in some ways. Is it always because of Christ? It's always because of the nature that we have through Adam, but yet we all suffer. That's why we have so much sickness and disease. And there may come a time where we might, even like Leanne had mentioned before, you know, the powers that be, you know, attacking the church. Of course, there was a long period of time where they would feel justified because the church did a lot of attacking of people. The government churches did. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. My go-to here is usually Romans 6. We're dead in Christ. Through the resurrection, we're alive. The life we live is by the faith of the Son of God. He loved me. And he died for me. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. When he died, think of this. We died with him. When he rose again, we rose with him. That's why our position today is we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's Jesus today? He's seated in heavenly places, and we're with him. We're in him. Tradition almost got me. With him, in him. That just makes a mockery of really where we are in Christ. Verse number 11. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, Paul will answer his sort of question here. The only means that he'll obtain to the resurrection of the dead is through the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Not as though I had already attained. Obviously, he's right here, right there writing. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. He's in the flesh. He's a man. He hasn't obtained that perfection in his resurrection. Even the Bible, even though he would write in Colossians that you're complete in him, you're perfect in him, in position. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may be, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Think of apprehension. Apprehending. Taken away. I always think of a policeman apprehending a suspect. Reading his rights, throwing the cuffs on him, so that I may grasp, may lay hold on who Jesus in the same way that he was apprehended of Christ. Jesus Christ saved us, rescued us. As I used the example last week, like a kitten, he snatched us and transferred us from the kingdom of darkness, or translated us into the kingdom of light. Paul's saying, it's like us. I want to apprehend Jesus Christ in the same way that I know he apprehended me. He loved me. That's why we have we have no command to forgive one another, except for the one reason is because Christ forgave you. Therefore, you ought to forgive one another. All these different things are all because of what Christ has done. Our motivation we have for all things is because of what Christ has done. Verse number 13, I'm getting back to where we started, right? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, I haven't grasped it all. Does anybody understand everything about the Bible? I don't think you can find a scholar with books on a shelf in the back. I don't think they've apprehended it all. They were flesh. Flesh and blood. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He didn't want to point out his works that he did before salvation. He says, forgetting those things. Try that sometime. What's done is done. That's in the past. How often do we hold on to those things that happened in the past? and don't let go of those. How many people still do that? My hand can go up. Do I hold a grudge against some? I want to say no, but we naturally do. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, in that race, reaching back to the race analogy. All you have to do is get the first part of your body to cross that line. So here he is, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I always think of the $6 million man or Chariots of Fire. Da, 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 da. You know, just getting your hand to that tape. That's what our goal, that's what our resolve is to trust Christ and apprehend him. Reaching forth, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's better than any Super Bowl trophy, better than Stanley's Cup, better than any kind of award you can get on earth. We have our prize in heaven. Nevertheless, verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. It's you and I. Again, we're not perfect in our actions. We're perfect in our standing and our position in Christ because we've trusted the righteousness of Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Press on. Press toward that mark. If you're a believer, that's our goal. Our goal is not earthly thrones and earthly rewards. Our goal is that high mark in heaven. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You want to have God reveal those things that you're not minded of? Is God just going to reach out and say, hey, stop looking back at your past. Reach. Look. Is a voice going to come down out of heaven? No. You ever see those memes? I think I've posted them before. Somebody saying, God, I want to hear from you. And out of the cloud comes a big hand with a Bible. Read. The greatest earthly thing that we can do that has heavenly benefits is to open our Bibles and read them. Unfortunately, much of Christendom, I put the spell that Christendumb, is focused on everything but the Bible. We don't need the Bible. That's old-fashioned. Only you fuddy-duds read the Bible. People think that you must be 90 years old sitting in a rocking chair reading the Bible, when it's actually our life source that we have, our source of life coming right from the Lord himself, specifically to us dummies on earth. That was the mirror. When I said dummy, I had to make sure I put the mirror up, you know. Even people like me and you, we have the scriptures. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. What was already attained? Salvation by grace through faith. Walk by the same rule. We live a life of grace. Our sanctification is through grace. Our speech should be full of grace. Everything we do, our conversation, our whole action, seasoned with grace. We are, after all, the only grace that many will see. More verses in here. Yeah, let's. I was going to stop here at verse number. Let's go to verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example, or an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. These are the ones he would point out in the book of Colossians, the ones that say, don't marry, taste not that, touch not. All these aesthetics that by denying these things you can achieve godliness. Every January, I'm waiting to see it, the things on Facebook, the 21-day fast that all these mega churches have, which is taken root in more conservative churches as well. We're going to fast for 21 days. Do you know why? Not really. Because they want to hear more from God. We used to have a pastor that would say that God speaks to you better when you have an empty stomach. I don't know why. I've done that a few times, and my stomach speaks to me when it's empty. But we don't have commandments for us to fast or anything. If you people do fast, they can choose to fast. They can do those things. But we don't have those. We don't mind earthly things. Let's for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are we looking from? Where's our seat? It's in heaven. Our conversation, our actions. Some would say our citizenship, but conversation has more to do with your entire actions. Our is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our beautiful, gorgeous, six-pack bodies. Vile. I saw that two celebrities died yesterday. Barbara Walters died at 93 years old. And Pope Benedict also died. What's their status? I don't know. They're D-E-A-D dead. Yeah, here we go. Amen. But for us who believe, who are looking for the Lord, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We just have to chew on that, because we don't know what his glorious body looks like. We have the accounts in Scripture after his resurrection, but we don't know what Jesus looked like before he came down and became a man. But we can wonder. Our bodies will be fashioned like unto his. I think we might be all bald. No glasses. We don't need hair to cover up all the imperfections on our skulls. Yeah, I don't know. We can go all over the place with this, but we really don't know what will be like. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What are those all things that he's going to subdue unto himself? It's in the text, all things. He's going to come, and he's going to rule and reign, but first, before that, the rapture happens. We'll be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Anybody ever know what the measurement of the twinkling is? We have an engineering viewpoint of what the twinkling of an eye is. Very quick, yes. I have seen different things here, but the thing that I last saw was it's about a billionth of a second. Try to think that short. It went past before we even had a desire to think. But in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. And our bodies, yes, many of us are clothed in blue, will be changed into perfect bodies. That's why we keep our scope. We set our mark. We press on towards the high calling of Jesus Christ. Because He does have a plan. Amen? His plan is to take us out of here. Any second. I was just trying to think of a rhyme that go with 2023. What could we put to the rapture for that? 2023, we're out of here, you and me. I don't know, something like that. But the reality is, through 2023, as it was in 2022, we'll stand firm, stand focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. That's our only hope that we have in this world right now. Because we'll be out of this world any second now. I hear that Bible cover over there. Not quite the sound of the trump, but... Amen? So with that, I say, Happy New Year. And may we have a blessed New Year. Blessed in the Lord and His righteousness. Blessed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Amen? I didn't even get a chance to go back to Colossians 3, but I won't. That's the closing of the closing. That's a good follow-up, though, good homework. Colossians chapter 3. Set your affections on things above where Christ sits. Amen? Great focus. I wish I had the laser. I could stay focused on that mark. Amen? The Lord is good. Why don't we stand together? And of course, I'd be remiss. Salvation is, it's a free gift. I love getting gifts. I like getting gifts at Christmas time. But salvation, eternal salvation, is a gift from God that's been offered to every single man. The idea is, do we receive that gift or do we reject it? Receiving the gift, that's the only way to salvation. It comes with no strings attached. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ, the true gift from God. Amen.